On Monday, we read from your email. Several of you wrote during our program on the 9/11 Commission's public hearings. High-level current and former administration officials testified under oath, but listener Charles Motern was concerned with the tone of the proceedings. He wrote, "I am somewhat shocked at the amount of lighthearted joking that can go on during these hearings. Jokes have no place in a hearing of such magnitude and severity. It shows me, in a subtle way, that regardless of the outcome of these hearings, that they are merely staged antics that the participants do not take seriously." Clyde Everton in Boise, Idaho, emailed during our discussion about the Supreme Court case to remove "Under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance. He wrote, "My wife and I are octogenarians who grew up in Oregon, where we said the original version of the Pledge of Allegiance, which did not include 'Under God.' We find the original version to be a perfectly adequate statement of our patriotism. It's a beautiful statement that moves smoothly. When the words 'Under God' were inserted, the flow of the pledge was broken. We also need to remember that it was a specific religious organization that worked to get 'Under God' inserted. We also need to remember that the original was written by a clergyman who did not feel the need to insert 'Under God' in the pledge." Wendy P. argued that there's actually no need for this case. She wrote, "More than 50 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that no one can be forced to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Everyone is already personally permitted by law to omit any words, including 'Under God.' There's no basis for this gentleman's lawsuit. All he has to do is exercise his parental rights and instruct his daughter according to his beliefs. She can simply omit 'Under God' if she chooses to say the Pledge of Allegiance. If she's uncomfortable with that, then her father should help her deal with her feelings. Uncomfortable situations are a fact of life." During that same program, Dan Wildhurt from Longmont, Colorado wrote, "Please point out to your guests that the national motto is not 'In God We Trust,' it's 'E Pluribus Unum.' Actually, we looked into it and found that in 1956, 'In God We Trust' was added as another national motto." In response to our segment on canoeing with a satellite telephone, we received several emails from campers, hikers, and adventurers with strong feelings about taking technology into the wild. Stuart Clipper of Minneapolis, Minnesota wrote, "Only the foolhardy seeking phony baloney thrills or hardships strive for adventures deliberately edging into the edgy. Coming home safely is pretty much the basic norm when out in terra incognita. Apollo 13, ring a bell?" But Monica Stildy in Jackson, Wyoming, is adamantly opposed to carrying a phone during her solo hikes. She wrote, "My greatest joy has been hiking in the Wyoming backcountry when there is no one else on the trail. One hears only the wind and the occasional critter movement. The sense of being one with nature can't be described. The last thing I would want to hear would be a radio or a cell phone." Paul Hill agreed with that sentiment, but says it's not so easy. He wrote, "Last year, some friends and I took a several-day backpacking trip. A typical ritual is to remove watches at the trailhead to go natural and keep the schedule of the day by the sun and the moon. But we couldn't actually get away from the official hour and minute because the GPSs plus the digital camera and the cell phone all knew the time as well as or better than any wristwatch. By the end of the trip, one person did notice they had a message on their cell and ended up stepping to a nearby ridge with a 50-plus mile view and calling the office to take care of some silly computer emergency. So much for getting away." If you have questions you feel haven't been addressed on the program, comments, or a correction, we want to hear from you. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Please be sure to include the topic of the show in the subject line. Tell us where you're writing from, city and state, please. And if necessary, give us guidance on how to pronounce your name. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.